Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Carol Kelly and Gail Martin. Each week, the ladies will bring you planting and gardening ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies, and habitats. Great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Gail Martin.
Good morning. This is Gail Martin coming to you with another segment of In the Green Outdoors. Today's broadcast continues the commentary on native shrubs and trees, which are not only useful for food and medicine, but also ornamental and or beneficial to wildlife. As we've discussed before, the caterpillars of many butterflies and moths feed on the leaves of native trees. And without host plants, these important and beautiful insects cannot complete their life cycle, and their populations then decline. Host plants with high butterfly and moth associations play a direct role in supporting bird populations. Because there are so many trees and shrubs to consider for host plants, and also for growing and using as food or medicine, I know it's going to take us a few more episodes to cover what I consider the most significant species. Today's are pawpaw and persimmon, some of my favorites. And these are native fruit trees, so I hope you're going to love this. Pawpaws are the state fruit of Ohio and can easily be found on Ohio's woodlands. Their fruit is present throughout the summer, but it doesn't ripen till fall. And although pawpaws frequently grow in clusters, we often think of it as a pawpaw patch. The trees in that patch are often genetically identical, and they're connected underground by roots. So, in biological terms, it's one single plant. Even though it appears to you or anyone looking at it, it might be 20 or 30 trees in a cluster, but it's technically one plant because they're all clones of the original plant. Pawpaws are found throughout Ohio and most of the eastern United States, and they have recently gained popularity. They have leaves and branches that the deer avoid, and a fruit that's loved by everyone, whether it's an animal or a human. The pawpaw is just a fascinating native tree. It's the only local member of a large, mostly tropical, plant family, and it produces the largest edible fruit native to North America. The fruit resembles what I think of as a short, fat banana, not only just in size, but somewhat in taste. And pawpaw fruit is nutritious, it's high in vitamin C, iron, and it's a good source of potassium, just like bananas. Pawpaws are an understory or a woodland edge tree. They often grow in areas with deep, moist soil, so you can find them around streams and riverbanks, sometimes hillside floodplains, and often in ravines and ditches. And although they produce more fruit in the sun, pawpaws will also grow in a very shady area. Pawpaw bark has been used medicinally due to its useful alkaloid content. It has also been used as food by Native Americans, and the thin, fibrous inner bark has been used historically to make fishing nets. That fibrous bark was also used by Native Americans and early settlers for making rope and other kinds of cordage, and it's still useful for that purpose, because if you go to a pawpaw patch, the bark will strip easily, and it separates easily into long, strong fibers right off the tree. And those fibers will extend the whole length of the tree without interruption, so the fiber length could be 20 feet or more. Now, I must remind you that if you go to a pawpaw tree and start stripping off bark, you're going to kill that particular tree. So if you're only doing one of the little clones, you're not going to kill the whole colony, but you will kill that one in particular. So pawpaw's pollinators include flies and beetles, which really aren't that sexy, but they're still good pollinators. And those pollinators will inevitably pollinate flowers, and the fruit hunters then will find a tree with fruit. So the next hurdle for you, if you're a human forager, is figuring out if the fruits are ripe. To do that, you can lightly shake the tree and that will dislodge any ripe fruit that may have escaped the notice of local wildlife. Because let me tell you, the possums, the foxes, the squirrels, raccoons, and even birds all love pawpaws. Now you may notice male zebra swallowtail butterflies flying around your pawpaws in search of females. Because, well, the pawpaw is the host plant for zebra swallowtail butterflies. So then after mating, the female butterflies will lay their eggs on the leaves of the pawpaw trees, and then the caterpillars will live and then pupate underneath the leaves of the pawpaw trees. It takes about 1 month for the eggs to develop into butterflies. Some pupa caterpillars spend the entire winter in hibernation and then will emerge in the spring as a butterfly. So there's no set time that they have to emerge. Once they do emerge, however, there is no growth stage for these butterflies, and they'll start reproducing as soon as they emerge. Such a butterfly, after emergence, may live up to 6 months in its natural habitat. So definitely, if you want to see zebra swallowtails, go hang out around a pawpaw. Now, my next tree is the Native American persimmon. The American persimmon is an attractive native tree that requires very little maintenance when planted in the appropriate place. It can range from southern Connecticut to Florida, west to Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Kansas, and even Iowa. So it's got a wide range. And the tree grows wild, but it has been cultivated for its fruit and wood for quite some time. Persimmons grow to about 20 feet, just like the pawpaw, and they like well-drained soil. In the summer, this species produces a very fragrant flower, which is dioecious, so one must have a male and a female tree to obtain fruit. The flowers are pollinated by insects and the wind, and fruiting typically will begin when the tree is about 6 years old. So sometimes you think, well, if I buy a fruit tree, it's going to take a long time for me to ever get any fruit out of it. But with a persimmon, you're going to get fruit when the tree is only six. The persimmons that you see in your grocery store now are usually Asian persimmons. American persimmons are smaller than the Asian, and they do have a bitter, astringent flavor before they're ripe. When an American persimmon is ripe, it's a golden orange or a really beautiful red color, and it's very sweet. And you can find hundreds of uses for persimmon fruit. The pulp makes good persimmon baked products, or you can dry it and have it as fruit leather. It's also wonderful in jams and jellies. Persimmons were probably one of the first cultivated plants among Native Americans. They're easy to grow from seed. The trees mature to fruit-bearing size pretty early, and the fruits were used in many ways and provided a much-needed vitamin C in the winter. The pulp was often mixed with dried meat, fat, and other kind of native grains to make pemmican, which was a travel or a winter food. And even the persimmon seeds were pressed to get the oil. The astringent, unripe fruit was also used medicinally to stop bleeding and as a gargle for sore throats. Native Americans made a tea from the leaves and a drink similar to coffee from the ground seeds. So people in the 19th century, when they discovered persimmons, were making beer, wine, and brandy from the fruits. And during the Civil War, soldiers were gathering persimmons to supplement their meager rations in the field. Pioneers and rural settlers would harvest the fruit for food, and they made use of the tannins in the fruit as a mordant for natural dyes. The wood is hard-grained and was often used for tool handles and even some ornamental items. And the heartwood in a persimmon can be used as a substitute for ebony. Persimmon trees are also host plants for the beautiful Luna and Regal moths. So, for no other reason than that, if you have space in on your property to plant at least one persimmon, then you can host Luna moths and Regal moths, because those moths are disappearing with every passing season. Their host plants are losing the battle to survive. Persimmon blossoms are small and kind of a whitish yellow, so they're not specifically very showy, but our native bees love them. And a tree in full bloom is going to be humming with bee activity. The flowers are very attractive to our non-native honeybees. And persimmon can also act as a host plant for the hickory horn devil. Native people knew that wildlife loved the fruit, and often they would stake out hunting blinds near persimmon groves. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of modern day hunters who hunt deer near persimmon trees as well. And a lot of birds, like waxwings, mockingbirds, catbirds, robins, turkeys, woodpeckers, all love persimmon. And even mammals like raccoons, skunks, and possums enjoy the fruit. The persimmon is also a wonderful food source for deer who will browse the leaves and the twigs. Well, I think I've pretty much exhausted my time for today. So join me again in 2 weeks when my broadcast will continue to cover edible and useful Ohio native tree and shrub species. If you have any questions about native trees in general, you can call me at 419-688-9800 or email me at gail@nativesinharmony.com. Also, please remember, all of our native trees and shrubs are important to our pollinators and wildlife. This is Gail Martin of Natives in Harmony Nursery, located at 4652 Township Road 179, Marengo, Ohio, signing out for In the Green Outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.